Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. It's a hearty and warm welcome to the Tuesday afternoon edition of the Women's Weekly, a program dedicated to women. I am Siska Mara and delighted to be in your company up to 3 p.m. this afternoon. Well, my memorable Hajj moments is what you can enjoy in today's program. In the first segment, I will be sharing my personal Hajj moments. And in the second segment, Sister Hasina Ali, my Hajj companion, will be sharing her memorable Hajj moments. And for those of you who have been for Hajj this year, even for those of you who have been for Hajj already, share with us your memorable Hajj moments. And we can actually end off the Hajj topic today. Because inshallah by tonight we can actually go out and sight the new moon for the month of Muharram, inshallah, and that will bring us to the end of the year 1436, and then we will actually begin with the new year of 1437, inshallah. So our lines are open, 011-854-1548. You can SMS or WhatsApp me also your memorable Hajj moments, 082-565-8648, a tweet at Amara Radio Islam. Now, you know, our first destination was Medina, and most Hajjis actually go to Medina first. Now, Masjid Nabawi, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is a structure of inexplicable beauty at first glance. It was hard to look away. It's a vision which will be imprinted in my heart forever. The evenings with the jet black sky, crescent moon, and sparkling stars hanging above the minarets of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's masjid are absolutely sensational, and I finally understand what all these masjids really mean. Wherever I hear the soulful call to prayer before my salah, or feel the presence and rahmah of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, I still can't believe that I was actually there, and it's nothing short of a miracle. And you know, wherever you meet, whoever has been to Medina, you always say that you actually leave your heart in Medina as well. And then also, it was definitely an honor and privilege to visit the most beloved of Allah, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's messengers. It is one thing to send salam on the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam from anywhere else in the world. However, it's a whole different experience sending them in Masjid Nabawi, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I felt extremely privileged to be given the chance to ask for forgiveness in the court of the most beloved of all prophets, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and also to send durood right there at the Rose Mubarak. And also, when it used to be so full, when the crowds were getting so full, you go and stay on one side, you make a salam, and you read the durood, and you watch other people as well. You know how excited they are, how elated they are to come to the Masjid Nabawi, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Then also, you know, when we visited the historical sites of Medina, when we went on Ziyarah, also, you know, when you go to all the wells and all the masajids, and as you sit in the bus, and the Maulana explains to you that was of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he walked, and you can't help but crying to think that the greatest man on earth actually stepped on that ground, you know. And now you are looking at it, you are so privileged, humble, to visit Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's place, that is Medina Munawwara as well. And also, yes, and then when we came to Makkah, I think one of the memorable moments also was, as soon as we arrived in Makkah, we went to perform our Umrah, and the sighting of the Kaaba for the first time was definitely overwhelming. We were all awestruck by its magnificence. Its beauty cannot be described in any other way except by pure experience of its presence. And you could see the people in our group, tears streaming down their face. And they are so, so, so happy to be there in front of the Kaaba. Also, you know, you actually feel so happy. And also, as you do your tawaf, you couldn't help but glance up overwhelmed by the thought that at this very moment, thousands of angels were also doing tawaf around the superior abode of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, directly parallel to our tawaf. And then again, after we performed our tawaf, we cooled ourselves down by drinking Zamzam water, in which we all felt our fatigue and thirst diminish. After drinking Zamzam water, we went to perform our say. Now, say he is represented to me, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in all his beneficence, in all his mercy, the one who provides sustenance for us, and is whose hands our destiny lies. And to think that how, you actually recall the flight of Hazrat Hajra, radiallahu anha, thinking how frantic she must have been, looking for water, and how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved the actions of his favorite person to such an extent that the revival of her actions is now considered worship. And that is the Safa say and the drinking of Zamzam water, which just basically overflows all the time. And you can enjoy it in Makkah and Medina so, so much. Drink to your heart's content. And then we come to the 5 days of Hajj, my memorable moments as well. After Fajr, we walked to Mina. The thunderous, melodious chants of the Talbiyah was echoed from every direction. Never had I felt such a strong sense of belonging. In Mina, I witnessed the influence of those who were ready to sacrifice everything in submission and obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then, after spending the night in Mina, we left for Arafat. And you know, many people ask you about Arafat, and I think that is the best day of your Hajj, is the day of Arafat. Because that is the day you are a Haji, and that is the day when, you know, you actually make your dua. The open ground was full of an incredible hum of people all thanking, glorifying, and pleading to Almighty Allah. It was a day where tears fell and hearts overflowed with thankfulness to Allah, with a strong belief in His mercy that all our sins will be forgiven. I felt incredibly insignificant that as I asked for forgiveness from my Lord, I expressed my hopes and sought assistance against my fears as well. And as far as the eye could see, you could see millions of people spread on the floors, also millions of people in white ihram as well, you know, clasping their hands, opening their begging bowls and begging Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for all their needs and their desires as well, making dua for the families, making dua for their ummah, for the whole entire ummah as well. And then, what's so special about Arafat? Now, the day of Arafat was always very special for me, but there is a very special moment, and that is in the late afternoon after an extremely hot day. And believe me, the day of Arafat was extremely hot. There is this cool breeze that comes out at wukuf time, and you cannot believe how cool that breeze is. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala just sends that cool breeze when people are going out there in the hot sun and making their dua. And, you know, hands raised in supplication with the breeze blowing, there is no better feeling as you can feel the presence of Allah. You know, it's really hard to explain, as with many other parts of Hajj, you have to be there to understand. And inshallah, Allah Ta'ala take those who haven't been, Allah Ta'ala take you, inshallah, ameen. And then again, when we came to Muzdalifah, as far as the eye could see, I could see was millions of people spread on the floor, under the clear black sky. It was truly an enriching experience. It gave me the international experience of the Ummah. There were people from every corner of the world, of all diverse colors, cultures, and classes. However, everyone sleeping on the floor under the clear black sky. There is no silly posturpedic mattress. There is no temple pillows or anything like that. You put your Hajj mat down and you put your head in the pillow, and what a beauty sleep you have. Then also, the rich and the poor is the main foundation of Hajj, a feeling that is missing. Basically also, you know, you don't know who is rich, who is poor, but you're all sleeping under the stars of Muzdalifah as well. Then again, after spending the night in Muzdalifah, we returned to Mina to actually go and stone the Jamarat. And then Mina reminded me of Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam willing just to sacrifice his obedient son. It was chaotic, yes, because now we were actually quite tense. We weren't sure how we were going to be passing the Jamarat, what type of crowds we were going to be expecting, but alhamdulillah, it went so, so, so easy with a breeze as well. And I thought I'd share with you a few of my other memorable moments is when, just after making Umrah, we were asked to actually meet at the green light. And we met at the green light, and I actually stood there and I met I just came across a Chinese pilgrim, a Chinese Ho Charge sister, and she handed me a small tin of balm in my hands. I took off my tawaf beads and I actually gave it to her, and she was so overwhelmed. And you know, I couldn't understand her language and she couldn't understand my language, but we understood the language of Dua indeed, yes. Then also, we remember en route from Medina to Mecca, where the bus stop for Zohar Salah, we went to make hudu. I came across a mother making hudu for her town syndrome son. And as I mentioned in my audio clips during the days of Hajj as well, that really, you know, made us think that, you know, how a mother, the value of a mother making hudu for her town syndrome boy. He was in ihram, she didn't this ihram. She told him to wait till she finished her salah, and then somebody helped him back on the bus. And we all stood and we looked and we could only but, you know, we just looked with silence, but making dua for that boy and being so grateful. And you know, you think back the values of a mother, what won't a mother do? And may Allah make it easy for them as well. And then the cold Zamzam water that actually quenches your thirst there in the hot Saudi Arabian weather as well. And of course the train crash, it was really, I think it was traumatic, it was sad indeed, yes. But that's all from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there's so many of the shuhada there. Let Allah grant them jannatul firdaus, ameen, and make it easy for the families as well as those who passed away in the stampede. Let's go for a break now. When we come back, I'm going to be joined by one of my Hajj companions, and that is Sister Hasina Ali, and she's going to be sharing with us some of her memorable Hajj moments. Stay tuned.
Al Tawheedi's Islamic Center is refurbishing at Waylives Farm, Masjid and Madrasa. Kindly assist in this project to uplift this community. Donations can be made to Al Tawheedi's Islamic Center. Standard Bank, branch code 015137. Account number 202572870. Or visit us at Trade Route Mall, number L31, next to Celsi, or at our head office, 31 Protea Avenue. Please note we also accept Zakah, Sadaqah, Lila, and all other donations. We're also registered for Section 18A. For more info, please call 011-854-9510.
Sedgar's, situated in Vereeniging, your one-stop family shop. Get up to 35% off youthful, casual, and kiddies-branded clothing for the lovers of functional art. Try our Carol Boys range. Look in our exquisite furniture and linen department. Tasteful furniture, decor, and advice to matching linen and curtains. Treat yourself to the beauty of designer jewelry, watches, sunglasses, and formal wear to suit your taste. Sedgar's, your original family store, where personal service is guaranteed.
Sunbeam Steel, suppliers of all steel products. For carports, gates, burglar-proofing, fencing, reinforcing steel mesh, and all your structural steel. We also stock roof sheeting in galvanized polycarbonate and fiberglass. For that fantastic rail deal, contact Sunbeam Steel. Situated at Main Clip River Road, Akenhof. Call us on 011-948-6011 or 6013 or 011-948-7905.
You are tuned to Women's Weekly on Radio Islam International.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, and welcome back. And we're sharing with you memorable Hajj moments, and this might be the last day of the month of Zulhijjah, also the last day of the year 1456, that's the Islamic year, and we look forward to the sighting of the moon tonight, inshallah. And then we look forward to another year of, inshallah, Allah grant us all the best in the new year as well. And online, we're joined by Sister Hasina Ali, which is also my Hajj companion, my Hajj Ben. Assalamu alaikum, Hasina, how are you?
Walaikum assalam wa rahmatullah. I'm well, shukran, and you?
Alhamdulillah, you're sounding so well, Sister Hasina. Have you rested well after your Hajj?
I try to, yeah.
It is, yes. I'm also trying to get there, alhamdulillah. Yeah. And, well, still getting a bit of rest here and there, but alhamdulillah, all well, all well. Sister Hasina, my Hajj companion, my Hajj Ben, how are you?
Alhamdulillah, I'm happy that, you know, we've been given the opportunity to go to the Holy Lands, alhamdulillah. And I think us going as well has been an inspiration to other people to also, you know, go for Hajj and things like that. Alhamdulillah.
Okay. See, was this your first visit to the Holy Land?
Actually, my second. I've been for Umrah when I was about 14 years old.
Mm-hmm.
So it's been quite a while.
Jeez. And there's a big difference between Hajj and Umrah, eh?
Totally.
Totally different. I told my kids that the same thing, yes. Sisters, share with us some of your memorable Hajj memories. Let's start off with Medina first.
Okay. Oh, man, where do we begin? Medina was just totally beautiful. I think, you know, everyone that goes for Hajj or Umrah always speaks about the serenity, you know, that covers Medina. And you can actually sense that there is a great personality, a great being, you know, in Medina Munawara. And so when we reached Medina, it was about like after Fajr or so, like, you know, and we all were, you know, so we reached the hotel and we all just like could not wait to go to the Haram, but of course we had to check in and things like that. And I remember the time for the Zuhr Salah came in and we actually just walked into the courtyard. You know, I just thought to myself, you know, all of these years we've been waiting to come, and, you know, all the pictures that we've been saving of, you know, Masjid Nabawi and things like that, and Alhamdulillah, we're finally here. And I remember that first walk, actually, you know, taking off my shoes, putting it in the shoe bag, and walking into Masjid Nabawi. And I thought to myself, subhanAllah, like, ya Allah, you've chosen me, you know, like, out of all the people, like, you've actually chosen me. And when we went in, it was quiet, so we could sit wherever. And, you know, I think just taking in that I'm actually here, subhanAllah. And, yeah, so that was the first day. And I think also, because a lot of highlights, you know, and I remember every time, I think it was the Maghrib of that day, we had Sheikh Huzaifi, who was, you know, the reciter.
Oh, yes.
And I thought to myself, you know, what better Qari could you get to recite for us than Sheikh Huzaifi, because Masjid Nabawi is so calm, you know, and you have a reciter like Sheikh Huzaifi, you know, he just sits in, you know, in Medina Munawara. So that was actually something I also appreciated, you know. Yeah.
And what was your experience at the Raudul Jannah?
That was tough. You know, because
it was,
all, everyone is like, you know, pushing through and everybody wants to get that experience. Well, the first day, you know, I tried, but I actually couldn't get through. So we decided, that was in the afternoon. So we decided, okay, fine, let's, you know, do it at night. So I think the next day it was when I went with a friend and we went in the evening. And subhanAllah, that's when it was a bit quieter, somewhat. And I remember... trying to maze my way through, and I actually found the spot, alhamdulillah, I read there. But you know, you do your thing and you move over. And I went to sit to, next to the place where, you know, the wheelchairs are, the ladies with the wheelchairs sit. And I sat close there, you know, making our du'as and things like that. And I was so lucky because thereafter, I think they were there for quite a while. So they were actually moved out, and I saw like a girl going to, you know, make a salah there at the road. So I quickly also follow in. And I remember that I read the longest four rakats ever, you know.
Alhamdulillah.
And I was like, alhamdulillah, like, you know. So I said to myself, if I don't get a chance, you know, to read as long as I want, again, I know that I'm fulfilled because of that day that I had my chance to actually do it so nicely, you know. And thinking that I'm actually at the Raudatul Jannah, you know, subhanAllah, that's, I think, something that everyone should experience, inshallah, that some things can't be explained, you know. It's something that someone has to experience on their own as well.
Yes. Yeah. And, you know, everybody's rushes to get onto the green carpet there. You know, and basically the lady guards, they actually put you into groups of the different countries. And I remember they actually asked us, you know, from where are you? I said, no, we're from South Africa. And she said, okay, go sit with the people from Nigeria, Algeria as well. So we sat there. And I noticed a Chinese group going in. So my daughter and I jumped up and we joined the Chinese group. And I remember we managed to make our salah there comfortably, yes. But then afterwards it gets quite full. And when it gets quite full, you just move to the side. And you can actually make a salah there and make your dua and, you know, make your durood there or read your Quran or whatever. And you can spend as much time as you want. But, the, you know, closer to the time of Hajj, there are very, very huge crowds there as well. And then your memorable memories of the ziyarats.
Oh, okay. That one has to be when we went to Saqifa Bani Sa'ida. that's close to Masjid Nabawi. And I remember our guide, Molana Musa Olga, you know, he presented it so well that he actually told us, everyone come together and like take off your shoes. I need you to feel the grass of Medina, you know.
Mm.
And that's when he started telling us that this was the place where Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was chosen to be the Khalifa, you know, after the death of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so he actually took it right back where Umar radiallahu anhu, you know, when he was, saying that, no, it can't be that the Prophet has passed away. And so he explained all of that.
Mm.
And so as you're sitting there, you're actually thinking, oh my, what had, you know, imagine how they were feeling at the time and everything. So he explained to us, like, you know, that, like how we have parliaments and places of meeting, you know, where important decisions are made. So that's exactly where it was there. At the Saqifa Bani Sa'ida. And of course, I think what also made it more memorable was when he explained, you know, the sickness of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, how he used to peep, you know, from his room. So it was all of that he mentioned, and the decision of Abu Bakr and Anhu being the next Khalifa was made there. So that was actually something very touching and, you know, memorable as well. And of course, you have to mention the I think 99 Names Exhibition Center.
Oh, yes. Oh, that was beautiful. It was so informative. I really enjoyed that, you know.
Yeah, yes.
And you actually learned so much about that as well.
Yes, definitely, you know. And that also left something with me, you know, that it was like, you know, you appreciate and things that you like. For example, the ants that, you know, they are just there. But now you look at, you see Ar-Rahman, you see Ar-Rahim in that end, you know. So that I loved that as well, the 99 Names Exhibition, G.
Absolutely, yeah. Yes. Now, coming to Makkah, what was your memorable experiences of Makkah?
Wow, Makkah. These are such hard questions because everything was so nice, you know. There was one day after we did the waf, my husband and I, and he wanted to do a second one. So I told him, you know what, you go ahead. I'm just going to sit here. And I called it the Kaaba gazing, you know, where I think we were on the ring and I just sat there. And I think there were people from Pakistan sitting on either side of me. And, you know, the way they were making so much of dua and crying, mm-hmm. like, you know, and those tears were so contagious. And, you know, also just started crying and making dua. And I remember the person next to me just started like humming some sort of like, you know, the dhikr, like the kalima, like, you know.
It sounds so beautiful.
Yes.
Absolutely beautiful in Urdu.
Yes. And oh man, that touched me, like, you know. And just sitting and looking at the Kaaba, you know, I said sometimes we also just need to just sit down and just do that. Just look at the Kaaba and, you know, let the du'as flow naturally from the heart, you know, informal, you know, you're really talking to Allah. So I think that was my most memorable experience of Makkah. Of course, the tawaf, they have their own right. And, you know, there were a lot of experiences. But this Kaaba gazing, as I call it, that was my most memorable one, you know? Gee.
Mm-hmm. And then share with us more of your memories of Makkah. Because I know Makkah, you actually spent more than Medina, few more days than Medina.
Gee. I think also there was the one day when, I think that's the second day when it rained, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we used to tell each other, my husband and I, okay, fine, we're going to meet at, you know, this door or whatever. And so we sat there after Asr and, you know, waiting for the Maghrib Adhan, and I could just see that, you know, it's going to rain.
Mm-hmm.
And it was scary at first because the sky, like, just simply turned red.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You know, you remember that, hey?
Yes.
And I'm thinking to myself, yeah, Allah, I know it rains, but I'm... should it be red, you know? It was a bit scary. But alhamdulillah, day after when it rained, and the way it rained, subhanAllah, that we were drenched, you know, we were soaking wet, and the imam goes for Maghrib Salah, Allahu Akbar, and we just, you know, start our Salah. And I remember that day, you know, even while making sajda, like our heads were going into like practically puddles of water,
yes.
Yeah, you know. And I remember like putting my niqab right and putting my hijab right and things like that. And then thereafter, my husband comes and he's like totally dry. So I'm like, okay. And so where did you make your salah, you know? Because yeah, I am soaking wet, you know, and things like that. So that was also one of the memorable, you know, moments, because, I mean, it was like, you know, when it rains, your du'as get accepted and you get better to the rain and you're right there at the Kaaba. So it was like a double whammy for us, like, you know. So that was also one of the memorable moments that we had. And also, I don't know if you remember when we were, it was at night, I think closer to the Hajj period, you know, when they raise the ghilaf of the Kaaba up and they cover it with the white, with the white cloth, yeah.
Yes.
So when we were doing the tawaf on that day, that's when they were doing that. And you know, I'm always so fascinated with the ghilaf of the Kaaba and things like that. So that was actually also awesome, actually witnessing that, you know, while we were doing our tawafs and things.
Alhamdulillah. And then your ziyarat in Makkah?
Ziyarat in Makkah, I think we went to, we went to Azizia, you know, so that included, you know, the Mina, Arafah, and, but while we were in Makkah, our guide took us to, like, you know, within the Haram, there was one pole that he took us to, like a pillar, you know, where the old part of the masjid is.
Yes.
At the bottom, and he showed us that, like, if you look at all of those poles there, like, you know, on the top, they've all got, like, like a sort of a pattern, but there was one specific one that had like lotus leaves, and he told us that that specific pillar is where when Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam went on Miraj, he left it from the house of Ummi Hani, so that is where that pole represents where the house of Ummi Hani was. So that was actually quite interesting, you know, because we know we know the incidents and everything like that, but actually to see that this specific pillar with those lotus leaves on top actually represents the house of Ummi Hani when he went for the Mi'raj. So that was quite interesting, something that we hadn't known before.
So Sasina, stay on the line, we're going to go for a break. When we come back, we're going to be sharing with you more of your memorable Hajj moments. Stay tuned.
Alright.
The Muslim Ummah is experiencing great stress and disbelief at the number of our brothers and sisters that have become drug dependent. Very few families have escaped the revolt and effects of this disease that has been unleashed on us. They need our help before the damage gets too great for us to mend. Please help them recover from the scourge. Support this initiative and other Crescent of Hope projects. Contact our office for more information on 011-852-7370 or log on to www.crescentofhope.co.za. Your contribution can make a difference. Crescent of Hope, serving humanity for the pleasure of Allah.
You don't have to go to India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mar Spices. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Ghana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mar Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mar Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
When you're after a trusted brand like Toyota, you want the same kind of expertise and reliability you'd expect from one of their top dealerships. Before buying your next Toyota, come in and speak to the professionals at Freeway Toyota. Whether it's a Corolla, Yaris, Auris, or Hilux you're looking for, don't sign up until you've spoken to one of our highly qualified team of sales professionals. We will not only match, but beat any written quote. Give us a call or come in for a test drive. 011-661-0000.
This is Women's Weekly on Radio Islam International.
And online we've got Sister Hasina Ali, my Hajj companion, my Hajj Ben, sharing her memorable Hajj moments. Assalamu alaikum, Sister Hasina, and welcome back.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Sister Hasina, still staying with Makkah, you know, we're talking about some of the ziyarats as well, yes?
Okay.
And do you have any other memorable moments during your stay in Makkah? Where were you, you know, how where were you when it was like actually a crane crash?
Okay, when the crane crash happened, we were already staying in Azizia. However, that Friday, you know, we came to the Haram and things like that, so we spent the whole day there. And I remember that afternoon, my husband asked me, okay, do you want to make tawaf now? So I told him, you can continue. I will, you know, to read my Quran. So he went out on the rings and he was making the tawaf while I was inside. But while I was inside, I could actually see, okay, there's, you know, a bit of dust, so I figured that perhaps it's, you know, a small sandstorm. And he never came, you know, like normally our tartib used to be that after the specific salah, then we would meet at, you know, gate, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
But on this specific day, that's when he came and actually called me. He called me, and I think he came out. He was like soaking wet, and you know, his eyes were red. And I asked him, "What's wrong?" You know, he says, "You know what?" And he explained the whole situation to me. And I was like so shocked, because those of us that were sitting inside the masjid had no idea.
No idea what was happening. Yes.
And while he's telling me all of this, I'm seeing like two people being wheeled in, you know, and I remember there's this one lady, she was actually unconscious and her fingers were like severed off, you know, and there was blood. Allah, that was actually so hard to see. And I did not even imagine how those other, the condition of the other people that were there on the mataf, and I mean, you know, where it happened and things like that. So, you know, he kind of saw what happened and things like that. So when we needed to leave now, so we decided, okay, after the Maghrib Salah, we're going to leave and go back to Azizia. And, you know, our phones were dead and everything. So we got out to look for a taxi, and there were no taxis that were, you know, that were available.
Yes, because they actually blocked all this road where the taxis come in.
Yeah. And if you remember, like how, like on the way to, like when we were going, they were, like when the trees were uprooted, and the system was really bad, you know. And we were so surprised, because, like, I mean, like I'm saying, we had no idea of the damage, you know. And subhanAllah, so we had to actually walk the tunnel. We walked and walked and walked the tunnel. It was something like, you know, the event of Qiyamah, like you're seeing everyone walking in one direction, and it was so eerie, like, you know. And but that was after Maghrib, so the time we reached the end of the tunnel, it was the Isha Azan was going. And so the taxis were parked on the other side, and because of the rain that was so strong, that the rain actually got into the engines of the taxis, so the taxis could not go out. But alhamdulillah, we ended up getting one, and when we reached Azizia, because we were Khidmatul Awam, so the whole group was there waiting for us and were concerned, and you know, it was really, you know, it was sad and it was really scary, you know. And yeah, so basically that's what happened, Jay.
Yeah, it was very scary, very traumatic indeed, yes. You know, I still remember the weather just changing so quickly. At 5 o'clock it was like dark, the haram lights come on, you get this wind that comes out, you get the hail that comes, and you just see things flying around, light poles down, big pot plants from the hotel down, and the way it rained and rained and rained. And I know my son came to look for us, and he found us, and I think he was a bit panicky because he couldn't find us. The network was down, and we just seen people wheeled out, the injured people wheeled out. We seen the Egyptian man crying out loud. I think his wife had just passed away. And then after a while, you find the buses and buses of armies coming in, all the whole line of ambulances coming in, you know, taking all the janazas out. That was really, really sad, you know.
It was.
And I think thereafter, they didn't even allow people to go into the haram, come out of the haram. And the Maghrib Salah was like so somber. The imams read two very, very short surahs, Isha as well. But the same night, the tawaf was really small. So we took advantage of that, you know. And the next day also, people were very hard, so very sad. And it was full on the newspapers, on the TV channels, on the social networks as well. And I think people, our families from South Africa, were trying to contact us because now the networks were down. So I think there was a bit of panic there, but alhamdulillah, we all were well. And for those who passed away, well, definitely they are Jannati indeed, yes. And then coming to your 5 days of Hajj, Hasina, what were your memorable moments on the 5 days of Hajj? Let's start with the first day.
Okay, the first day was the day that we went to Mina, and you know, it was extremely hot. You remember that day?
Yes.
It was so hot, and the aircon weren't working. Yeah, and alhamdulillah, I think because we were waiting for the 5 days to begin, you know. And so when we got there, we were like, okay, fine. Like, you know, you're pacing yourself and preparing yourself basically for the day of Arafah. And the what was a bit scary, I remember when I did the first interview with Radio Islam, I told them to, like, you know, please keep the Hujjaj in mind, and, you know, and they do us, because it was extremely hot.
It was,
and a lot of
yes.
people were passing out. And that was also scary to see, you know, knowing what happened, like, you know, in Mecca, people passed away the week before that, and then now you're finding people that are passing out because it was so extremely hot. And but then also you come to the conclusion that, you know what, you aren't in control of some things, that, you know, some things are beyond your control and, you know, Allah is the one who does things.
Mm-hmm.
So that's also where your sabr comes in, that even you have to be patient with the weather,
yes,
and things like that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So basically that was the first day in preparation for Arafah. And so we go to Arafah the next day. And, you know, and I know you have a sort of feeling in your heart that, like, okay, Allah, and with the labaik that's going on, with the labaik that's going on, it just does something, you know. I will also say that, you know, you can say the labaik at any other time of prayer, but when you're saying your labaik, when you're in your ihram, and especially those days of Hajj, subhanAllah, it really, you know, it ignites something in you, it wakes something up in you.
It's a completely different feeling.
Definitely, definitely, you know. And I remember they told us, you know, rest as much as you want now, because come the time of wukuf, you got to put your A game on, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember when the time for wukuf set in, they told us from now on, you don't talk to anyone. The only one you talk to is Allah.
Mm-hmm.
You ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. And we did, you know, the group dua with our scholars and things like that. And so my husband and I, we went to actually the Mount, you know, Jabal Rahma,
mm-hmm,
and we stood there together, and, you know, we're making the du'as, you know, for everyone. And it was also a very hot day, like,
yes,
you know.
Yes,
yes. Ah, that was hot.
It was really, I think the hottest in the first day as well.
Yes, Allahu Akbar, you know. And you're asking, and you're thinking to yourself, okay, the Prophet also stood for how many hours and at wukuf and, you know, making so much of du'a. Because it was like now or never. You're going to ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala now. This is your chance where, mm-hmm, you know that you are mustajab for sure. And you're going to be forgiven for sure. So you had to give everything that you had, like, you know. And you asked and asked and asked and asked. You know, you sat down, you stood, you sat, you stood. And you asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know. And I actually felt honored being in that, you know, on the plains of Arafah. I mean, we all been dying to go for Hajj. And, you know, as we know, Al-Hajj Arafah. So, Ya Allah, I've made it. When you sing it, Labaik, for me, mm-hmm, it was like, Ya Allah, I've made it. I've come. You've brought me here and accept me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, no, Arafah was very deep, really.
And you see, you know, you look around, you see so many people all in white, you know, all dressed in Ihram, mm-hmm, which makes you appreciate the simple things in life which we take so much for granted, like a simple piece of soap and a brush or a comb, you know.
Yes.
It was basically your ihram as well, yes. And then your experience in Muzdalifah?
Yeah, Muzdalifah. Muzdalifah. We're all plain, simple. I think that's the place, you know, humility, subhanAllah. Muzdalifah taught each and every one of us humility and simpleness. You know, that everyone was equal, you know, status was not, you know, it was nowhere. Everyone was on the ground that day. Everyone was on the ground. No tent, no nothing. It's just you and the ground that day, subhanAllah. And Muzdalifah for me, you can see the lesson was that I thought to myself, subhanAllah, I'm so close to the ground. And it was so hot also in Muzdalifah.
It was very hot, yes. Mm-hmm.
We found it so hard to sleep because it was so hot, you know. And I just thought to myself, I said, Allahu Akbar. Now imagine, I know when we die, of course, you're not going to have your senses, you know, you're going to be dead. But I thought to myself, imagine now being put into the ground, and it felt as though the heat was coming from the
ground. From the ground, it's true. You can say it again, you know? Yes.
Hmm. So, yeah, Muzdalifah taught us simplicity, that, you know what, we are all nothing, status doesn't matter, and, you know, you submit to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you know, even though you are able to bring your bed there, but you cannot, because that's what Allah wants, that everyone should be on the ground on that day, that's what everybody does, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, for me, that's what Muzdalifah, you know, taught humility. That was my lesson from Muzdalifah, humility, and I think I slept for about 2 hours or so, but yeah, when I slept, that's when I slept. I had a good sleep.
You had a good sleep, yes.
Mm-hmm.
And no mattress, and I think the ground of Muzdalifah was basically your silly prosthetic mattress as well.
Yes.
Alhamdulillah, yes.
Alhamdulillah.
And then your pelting experience, the Jamarat?
Oh,
I think that was so easy, you know?
It was, you know, the Jamarat, you know, I think everyone's experience is different, and for me, like, you know, my it moment on the Hajj was actually the Jamarat for some reason. I remember us actually walking into that, you know, Jamarat building, if you want to call it that, and it felt like something happened from within. That you among all of these thousands of people, and you know, like, you know that sound that the sound of the people, the sound of those fans and everything.
Yes.
And you're weaving your way through. And yes, you know, we went to the back. And alhamdulillah, that's where there was no one. There was just, you know, the Jamarat, the wall. And that's where we were, you know, so we passed it quite easily.
Very easy,
but you're
yes.
saying your, you know, as you're saying that, Allah Akbar. Allah Akbar.
It's like echoing behind you.
Yes, you know. And I remember saying, because our mentors actually told us, like, you know, when you're pelting, remember that you're pelting, that you're saying, Ya Allah, I'm throwing away the anger from within me. I'm throwing away the hatred and the jealousy. So you're throwing this, and you know, you're thinking of all of that. And at the same time, oh Allah, accept my payable. Oh Allah, accept my payable. Because that's what also we know in our Hajj class that we learned, like, you know, that you make dua, oh Allah, accept my payables. Like, you know, so this was actually something, yeah, for me, the pelting was very emotional. It was very touching. Also keeping in mind the history of the pelting, you know, and, how Ibrahim alayhi salam pelted and what was his reason for pelting, you know, and things like that. So, for me, yeah, the pelting did something, alhamdulillah, you know.
Sister Hasina, I want to share with you something. I received a message here from one of our listeners. And they say, I remember, okay, just before I share that with you, just take our call online. Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam.
How are you, sister?
How are you, sister, mother?
Alhamdulillah, and you're calling us from?
From Joburg.
From Johannesburg. Welcome to the program, sister.
I just want to contribute. If I was alive, I wasn't there this year. I went 21 years ago. But what do you think of the hotel of the million stars?
Oh, indeed, sister. Absolutely indeed, yes.
It was so lovely, and you have a good sleep on the floor.
Yes, indeed, yes, sister.
That's awesome,
Zakira. Zakira, for calling in, sister. Assalamu alaikum. Hasina, if you can just, if you heard what the sister said, she says Muzdalifah is a hotel with a million stars.
Definitely. Gee.
Absolutely, yes. She put it so, so well. Zakira, for sharing that with our sister. Well, let me share with you what I actually received via WhatsApp. The sister says, or the listener says, I remember the walk in Mina from our camp to the pillars. The camp seemed to be the furthest. The advantage, however, was you'd see the whole world in the space of an hour. Apart from familiar smells of biryani from the South Asian camps, you'd hear languages you've never heard, see every shade of skin color, and at once be aware of the wonderful differences and yet sameness of humanity. And also, more vital is my first view of the Kaaba, orbited by a swirl of white. As I approached, I saw these were people, again, of all races, all dressed in white. The vision of white swirling around their black center reminded me of galaxies or cosmic accretion disks. Both are signs of Allah, inspiring awe and praise. It is so beautiful, Hasina.
Definitely. Oh, subhanAllah, well put, honestly. Well put.
Yes, indeed. And then your other experience of planting the Jamarat also, Sister Hasina?
Well, the, you know, after Muzdalifah, okay, fine, the second day of pelting, you know, I think that was after the stampede, you know. So you know, and I think at that moment, it was like, I will do what Allah expects me to do, what Allah wants me to do. Because had it been any other thing, you would be like, you know what, something dangerous happened there, I'm not going back there. However, everyone had to go right back to Mina and had to go and pelt.
And you had to pass that. You had to pass it. I know when we had to actually walk towards our camp in Mina, we had to pass it. But it's certain day when the stampede happened, many hours later, we couldn't pass it because all the bodies were still there. So we basically took a longer route.
Hey, subhanAllah, hey. And I remember going in there, like, you know, and you know, the atmosphere was very low, you know.
Very somber, yes.
And I know, because you could still see people's sandals lying around.
Yes.
And Allah Akbar, and you're thinking to yourself, as I'm coming to pelt, these people were also coming to pelt for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know, and it was also very emotional because you had all of these things in mind. And so we went, you know, again to the back stairway. It was very easy for us to pelt, alhamdulillah. You know, we pelted our seven stones. I remember one of my Haji Ben, she even says, you know, on the first day, she tells me, hey, you know what, I'm actually ran out of stones. And we're like, how come? She's like, you know, I was so in the groove of stoning, and I took all my 21 stones and I transferred all, you know. And I was like, yeah, you know, because you get into the zone, you
yes.
know.
Mm-hmm.
But alhamdulillah, like, you know, actually, like I'm saying, you know, we're pelted, and you tell yourself, I will do what Allah expects me to do, you know. Mm-hmm. So on the second day, that was the lesson. And, you know, some people left on the first day, going back to, you know, wherever they were staying, or mm-hmm. others remained for the sixth day. And I remember our guide told us that it's for the muttaqun. Like, you know, he was encouraging us to stay behind for the sixth day. It's for the God-fearing, like, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So alhamdulillah, many people did remain for the sixth day to tell, like, you know, because they encouraged the people so well that, you know, it's for the muttaqun. But there was nothing wrong, of course, in leaving on the fifth
yes,
day
yes.
as well,
mm-hmm.
you know. Yeah, so, yeah, that was basically the experience of the Jamarat. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Then, I got another message here. This is from Brother Yunus. He says, I performed Hajj way back in 1996 with my marhuma wife, Allah grant the genital Firdaus, Ameen. And main memory that stands out for me is being the only Hanafi in the group, Shafi Hujjaj, who proceeded and stationed on the mountain pass, completed our Maghrib and Isha Salah together, and they being Shafi were intending to proceed to Mina at midnight, of course. We had to return to the plains of Muzdalifah. In was two lone figures coming from the mountain and emerging on the sea of humanity, trying to come as close to Masjid al-Haram, as close as possible. Look so near yet so far, but we manage. Exciting and challenging. From Brother Yunus of Renesia. Jazakallah for sharing it with us, Brother Yunus.
Mm.
I think that must be also a memory for him with his late wife as well.
Gee, definitely.
Mm-hmm. Then this another message says, Salams, I performed Hajj in 2001 and my best sleep was in Muzdalifah. And I agree with the listener.
Yes.
I definitely agree with the listener. And then, Sister Asina, your final day of Hajj.
Well, most of the people from our group had already gone, so just a few of us that were left, you know. And I remember, you know, like trying to take in that subhanAllah, this is the last day, and you know, then thereafter, okay, fine, because, you know, it was very hot and whatever, then okay, fine, soon we're going to, you know, to go back to Azizia and things like that. But, you know, trying to take in what was left of the Hajj, basically, you know, telling ourselves that, you know what, after we go and we do our pelting and, you know, whatnot, then, you know, that it's done, it's over, you know. So, and then, of course, we had to do the Tawaful Ifada and, you know, all of that. Tawaful Ifada, ji. And, you know, that, like, okay, fine, that once this is done, then it's over. And this was a journey that we've been preparing for how many years, whether it was financially, spiritually, or whatever, emotionally, you know. And it's actually coming to an end. So that was also quite sad that, you know, my actual 5 days or 6 days is actually coming to an end, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Gee, so it was quite
sad. And I think especially if you make your tawaf reader, you become so sad.
Yes, yeah, that, like, this is goodbye then. But some were saying, it's not goodbye, see you later, because inshallah we are returning.
Inshallah we are returning. This was that you must make that dua, you know, that inshallah ya Allah, you bring us back again. Soon,
yes.
You know, inshallah.
Allah.
Inshallah, amen. Sister Asna, jazakallah khair for sharing with us your memorable Hajj moments. I really enjoyed it. Just to reminisce about our Hajj journey this year, inshallah. And you rest well and so continue remembering us in your duas as well.
Inshallah.
And once again, jazakallah so much, Sister Asina.
Ameen, shukran.
Assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullah.
Well, that was Sister Hasina Ali, one of my Hajj companions, sharing her memorable Hajj moments. Really enjoyed it as well, yes. Jazakallah to the sister who called in and to all those who also sent in messages as well. Well, it's come to the end of a lovely program, and inshallah on Thursday morning, here's what you can look forward to. We're going to be sharing with you the foods and the drinks and the vitamins, what matriculants can actually have while they're studying for their final examinations as well. That will be on our health segment, and we're going to go immediately into the cooking segment, and we're going to be talking about the different types of green mangoes. Achar mangoes are out in season, full season, yes. and also sharing with you hints and tips on how to go about and make achar, different utensils, different ingredients to use as well. And then at Creative Prime is preparing some lovely achar recipes as well. So you can look forward to that on Thursday morning, the Household Express. From me, Amara, and my engineer, Usama, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.